In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on what's called Good Shepherd Sunday, you'll have heard that the readings explore what a good shepherd is. Ancient Israelites would have been very familiar with the imagery of sheep because animal husbandry, and particularly sheep husbandry, was prolific, and Scripture is full of references to shepherds. Indeed, God and Jesus both call themselves shepherds. Psalm 23, which many people will recognise, is so well loved. It beautifully evokes God caring for, restoring, and comforting David, the famous king of Israel and Judah. Because it's so gentle and reassuring, we can see why it's so often used in funerals and other ceremonies, all of these thousands of years later. However, the psalm follows immediately from Psalm 22, in which David cries out in his loneliness, my God, why have you abandoned me? Persecuted and tormented by his enemies, he's desperate for help from a God he half believes can't or won't hear him. Yet amidst his doubt in Psalm 22, David also expresses trust in God. And in Psalm 23, which we read this morning, we see a full expression of this trust in the Lord when David sings, the Lord is my shepherd. David follows God, is led by God, because even when God seems silent to him, David believes that God's mercy and endless ever-presence will lead him safely towards all that is good and will nourish and protect him. In the Gospel of John, the motif of a shepherd again appears, this time where Jesus describes himself as a gate, and later in the chapter, the Good Shepherd. I am the gate. I am the Good Shepherd. It's a familiar, well-loved passage in the New Testament, especially Jesus' words that he is the shepherd who will lay down his life for his sheep. Well, Jesus describes himself as a gate and good shepherd with all the overtones of care and devotion and protection of his sheep. When he says, I am the gate, he's likely borrowing from a practice of where the shepherd cares enough about his sheep that he or she would stand at the mouth of the sheepfold to count the sheep in carefully, examining them and checking them for sores, for fractures, or for any distress. And in the morning, the shepherd would use his staff or rod to let the sheep out, the ones that he owns, the ones that will follow him, and lead them off for food and water. Jesus also calls the sheep by name, and the sheep follow his voice, underscoring an intensely intimate and trusting relationship between a good shepherd and a good shepherd's sheep. Jesus may also be using a figure of speech to evoke what a good shepherd is. But he isn't speaking into thin air or musing quietly to himself. He's speaking to a specific audience, and it's not an audience who'll welcome what he has to say. In fact, among his listeners are those who only want to do violence to him, yet he speaks anyway. Who's he saying all of these things too? I am the gate, I am the shepherd. He's saying this to the Pharisees. The context is this. Jesus has just given sight to a blind man, a beggar, the poorest of the poor. When the Pharisees and other leaders hear of this, they don't rejoice in this man's good eyesight now. They don't rejoice and thank God for this miracle. They disdain this man and throw him out of the synagogue. They're more interested in laws than the well-being of a suffering fellow human being. They're not shepherding as they should. They're not leading as they should. they're like the false shepherds, described by the prophet Ezekiel. They don't care about the poor or infirm. They starve their sheep to fatten themselves. They treat their flock with force and severity. And they don't bind up the injured. They don't rescue the straying ones. They don't strengthen the weak. And we see this over and over again. In this context, then, Jesus' words are provocative as well as reassuring in front of the Pharisees. Jesus declares himself the good shepherd, the authoritative, legitimate, divine shepherd. It's not just a metaphorical claim to rile the religious leaders who don't understand anyway, but a statement that he, Jesus, is the shepherd that God wants for the world. Jesus does care for all who come to him. He does know people by name. He does include all, especially those normally excluded from the sheepfold. He does heal and bind up wounds. He forgives. He gives life in abundance to all who call upon him. Jesus subverts all the ideologies of leadership and power with his talk of shepherds and sheep and sheepfolds. And ironically, as Jesus leads his followers into this new way of bringing the kingdom of God to others, hostilities mount around him. It's sometimes a prickly thing to follow Jesus because he keeps challenging the rules and laws and practices that do harm instead of protecting and nurturing. Why did Jesus' disciples follow him? They often don't understand what he's saying or doing. They're often wrong-footed, but they follow him. Jesus provokes the religious authorities, seeks out the refuse of society, mingles with the unacceptable, and challenges disciples daily to see how things can and must be different. And they still follow him. After his resurrection, Jesus asks Peter 3 times if he loves him. Each time when Peter says yes, Jesus commands him, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, and again, feed my sheep. After this, he says, follow me. And Peter and the other disciples do. Why do they follow him? Because they each heard their name being called. As they do follow him, they see someone who liberates rather than oppresses, someone who heals rather than crushes, someone who by every action says, you belong to me and I'll care for you. No one can snatch you out of my hand. The disciples and, of course, countless millions follow Jesus because he loves without measure and wants us to share this love in practice and in faith. Psalm 23 evokes a beautiful image of a cup overflowing with God's goodness. Jesus says that he came that all may have life and have it abundantly. This extravagant, abundant, overflowing life full of God's goodness begins when we, through faith, commit ourselves to the kind and quality of life that Jesus embodies. Jesus continually leads us to a better version of ourselves where, in imitation of Christ, we want to love the unlovable, embrace the outcast, heal the hurting, and build the kingdom of God right here. This is life in abundance. Following Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is a life lived for others where those around us might enjoy all the goodness and peace and love that Christ promises to all. Amen.